This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, Jason Gibbs, Joy Production Manager. It's Radiothon time. We still need Joy and we need your support. If you appreciate our free podcast service, our voice for the LGBTI community globally, and the volunteers that make our service possible, please sign up, renew your Joy membership, or make a tax-deductible donation before June 30 to keep our service possible. You may win a prize. Head to joy.org.au and click on either the Become a Member or Donate tabs to support us. If you appreciate our podcast service, let us know in the comments section when making your donation. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them, at joy.org.au and on iTunes.
Am I ever going to fall in love in New York City? Come on.
And that was Grace Jones.
Oh, I thought I recognised the voice, but I couldn't place it. It was very different. The phrasing and all that.
There's a few sort of spoken words where she comes out a little bit more of the original Grace Jones version.
Okay. So. And you are on Joy 94.9. It is Sunday Arts Magazine. Brendan, who is our next guest?
Well, we've got a return visitor to the show. I think it's the day for it, isn't it, today, David?
It is.
And we, you know, we'd love to make friends on Sunday Arts Magazine. We don't turn everybody off, fantastically. So we've got Stephen Nicolazzo, director, in studio.
He's important.
He's very important.
And, but Stephen, let's go back a little bit in time. You know, you're a big-time director now, but where did that all start?
big time. I started directing when I was 17 years old.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, just in like little theatres in Melbourne University. And then I went to NIDA about 8 years ago and then started working in the independent sector from about 2010, 2011.
Tell us about NIDA.
What can I say?
A good experience?
It was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Right.
And I think because I was quite young when I did it, I didn't appreciate at the time how much I was learning. But what's been wonderful is in the last 8 years, like I've really seen how all that hard work has sort of penetrated every decision I've made.
It's not easy to get into, is it?
No. It's quite tricky.
And then you're like, you're going, no, I'm not getting this. Typical youth, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's even like you go in there as well and you're like, well, I already know it all, of course. There's like an arrogance that comes with it.
Is that the catch? You sort of, it's so hard to get in.
You've got to be confident.
You must be good.
Yeah.
And then to be sort of said, well, actually, you've got to start from scratch.
Yeah. And that's very, and I think it's a really good kind of way of training people too, is to kind of bring them in with enough kind of gravitas to then strip them down and get them to really dissect what they do. It's good.
And what was it about that training then that you know, propelled you into independent theatre rather than, you know, more of a commercial one?
Because I think what was really good about something like NIDA was that you had to assess what kind of artist you wanted to be. And for me, I wanted to make work that had a queer sensibility and that was exploring themes that may not necessarily have been commercial at the time. And the only way that I thought that I could do that was on my own with my company.
So tell us, you know, when you get to that stage, when you had that realization, what's the next step? Is it making connections?
And communicating with the industry and, you know, developing relationships with other emerging artists and companies. Like, you know, for me, you know, our first big, because I run a company called Little Ones Theatre, the first big hit we ever had was a production of Psycho Beach Party, which had Ash Flanders in it, who is of Sisters Grimm fame. And so we were all working together at this really exciting time when artists like The Rabble and Fraud Outfit with Adina Jacobs were coming out of the woodworks. And so that was a really exciting time for queers in theatre. And I think that's how it all started. Does that answer the question?
Yeah. We actually had Adina in last week.
Oh, cool.
Funnily enough. So, you know, has it kind of set you up for the next step in your career, you know, where you are now?
Yeah, I think, I mean, what I really like is that I'm still able to explore those things in new contexts as well. Like, it's not just, you know, us putting on a show in a garage or in a, like, an abandoned warehouse. We get to do it at Melbourne Theatre Company or at the Malt House or working with, you know, sort of commercial companies to explore these themes, and that's really exciting.
And how hard is it being true to yourself, you know, like making sure that you are doing what you want to do, but you've got to pay the bills at the end of the day, and you've also got to make sure that you're the person that people want to work with?
I guess it's really all about having backbone and sticking to that, to your guns, and having integrity about it. I think for me, whenever I've attempted to kind of sideline what I believe in when I'm making work, it's always crap. So I think, yeah, just really focusing on a trajectory and following it was what worked for me.
What are your highlights so far? Have you ever thought of that?
I mean, my favourite moment so far has been taking our sort of queer version of Dangerous Liaisons by Christopher Hampton to the Darwin International Arts Festival, and it played there to like 2,000 people over a night. It was only it was very small, but it was the most incredible audience I've ever experienced, and they completely supported the queer content. They were getting up and screaming, people were making out in the stalls. People were drinking Bundy and Cokes. It was like exactly what I wanted theatre to be.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's probably one of my favourite moments.
Well, that is a brilliant moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's almost a moment that you would have got with, that would have been happening with Shakespeare, with all those people standing down the front.
Totally. It felt that kind of, like, collective joy and, like, vocal joy, which was amazing. Yeah, so that's a real highlight.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Yeah. Now, here we are, Red Stitch.
Yep.
Tell those people that don't know about Red Stitch, what is it?
So Red Stitch is a company that was developed by an ensemble of actors. It's currently run by an actress named Ella Coldwell. She's the artistic director, and the company basically works on a proviso that, a rotating ensemble of performers are either performing in shows, creating new plays, doing administrative work, et cetera, et cetera.
Painting.
Yeah, painting things. They kind of, that's their legacy, I guess. And, and I'm a guest in there. In their house.
Because they push the boundaries a bit, don't they?
Yeah, look, I think that they are really good at bringing new international and new Australian work to the stage in a smaller context, but that also most of their works have, a broader kind of general public appeal, which is good because I think that that's who should be coming into theatre too, not just the, the educated film, So
when they approached you, did they have a play in mind or did they say to you, right?
So they came to me with this play that's opening called The Moors.
Yep.
By an American playwright named Jen Silverman, who is an incredibly sort of zany and dark playwright who kind of has a very similar vibe to someone like Declan Greene or Lally Katz in Australia. They're kind of operating in these sort of strange forms and exploring queer content. And so The Moors is a kind of contemporary dissection of the Bronte sisters.
Oh, okay.
So it's a Victorian Gothic that's exploring like the visibility of females in a patriarchal world.
Right.
Yeah. So they brought me that script and I was like, I'm doing it.
Which, you know, in our Trump era is highly, topical at the moment. Mm. You know, firstly, when did you get approached about this? You know, was that stream already happening?
It was the end of last year. So yeah, it was about
just
the same
in time.
Yeah, it was just in time. And I think, the playwright wrote it in 2015. So it would have been during all of this kind of shifts in the country. Yeah.
So, you know, do you approach it in kind of a modern way in that way, like kind of using that impetus for your inspiration or do you go back to something else?
Well, look, I think that thematically the play is dealing with a lot of contemporary issues like domestic violence and kind of seriously troublesome material, but it's also kind of still similar to the period that it's set as well. So it's kind of has a contemporary spin, but I prefer to go back to the genre mm-hmm. as a source to then be able to unlock any contemporary resonances. Yeah.
Because I think the image that I've seen from it, mm-hmm. the advertising image, immediately sets it up for you, mm-hmm. doesn't it?
Yes.
And you think this is going to be interesting.
Yes, because it's a redheaded woman in a bonnet and then a sort of ominous half-naked man. He's actually playing a dog in the show, a mastiff.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Who speaks? He's the only male in the cast, but it's in dog form.
Okay. And with Red Stitch being an actors collective, mm-hmm. have you used all of their actors in this play?
No. So as a guest director, you do get to you work with three of the ensemble members. So there's a cast of six in this. So I've got three ensemble members. One of whom is their graduate. They have a graduate program. Yep. And then I have three performers that work with my company, Little Ones Theatre, a lot. And I'm really delighted to bring them into Red Stitch.
And it must be exciting for them to be part of this, incredible ensemble as well.
Yeah, and I think it's also really fun to kind of see two worlds collide.
Yeah. Everyone's getting on okay?
Yeah, they're getting along.
Well, you can't say if they're...
No, they are. I think because what's been really cool is the Red Stitch performers have come and seen our work.
Right.
And really appreciated these actresses. And we're really excited to have us come in, and I think that's actually created something really exciting.
Right.
Well, we're talking The Moors with director Stephen Nicolazzo on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. Joy. You're on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. You just caught us gabbling behind the scenes here on Joy 94.9.
And it's all Stephen's fault.
It's all Stephen's fault. He's just too darn interesting. Stephen Nicolazzo, that's who we're talking with, director of The Moors for Red Stitch. Also of Little Ones Theatre Company. But, Stephen, we were sort of talking a little bit more about The Moors, mm-hmm. before we left the conversation. But, what can people, or what do you hope people take away from your production of The Moors?
I hope that they get a kind of fun, ridiculous and maudlin, response to the Gothic genre, that has a lot of heart and a lot of laughs. That's the kind of the key thing with it. We want you to feel chilled as well. I think it's kind of like we realised the other day that it's become a little bit of a cross between the Addams Family and an actual horror. So I guess that's what we want to take away from it.
Do you take on board the way it's been produced overseas, or do you totally don't want to know?
That's such a good question. I had this question earlier as well. I do check out how it's been interpreted.
You do?
I'm really interested in that because I will make sure that I don't interpret it that way. So it's really useful to see how other people have responded.
Yeah. And have you had any feedback yet, or don't they even know the way you...
No, I've spoken with the playwright via Skype, and we've been in conversation throughout the process.
And happy with it?
Yeah. I mean, she's a really cool and open woman and is really interested. We were both really interested in kind of like the differences between Australian and American audiences, and spoke about that quite a lot, just to kind of interrogate how you would interpret her play in a much more cynical environment. Because in America, there's a support of like earnest and sort of work. And there is a tendency for the play, and not in a bad way, but for it to go into kind of sentimental plays. Mm. But for me, I see it as ironic. So it was really fun to talk about the kind of differences in our thinking.
Yeah. And what did she say when you said that to her?
I think she was just intrigued as to kind of like how
because we all look at things differently, don't we?
Yeah, totally. And I think, for her, what might be sincere and kind of, emotional, in Australia could be read as a kind of farce. So it was really interesting to think about the tension there and play with it. And that's really influenced, I think, how we're approaching the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is there one particular message you want to get out with this production?
I guess I'm not really a message kind of maker, but I think in terms of what I hope it does is that it gives female voices a space on stage, because I think that that's something that's still not resolved.
Okay, because we were talking, talked about that a bit today, haven't we?
We have, yes.
Yeah, really?
Well, kind of with the Wonder Woman impetus happening in popular culture at the moment, you know, would you agree it's finally starting to turn the corner?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that, I mean, the Wonder Woman situation is kind of on a massive scale, but I guess for me, I still am thinking about, you know, like female roles on stage, like in the purest sense of like, can the cast be dominated by women and will that sell tickets?
Well, I guess, there's been a few, you know, little companies that we've had on that are all female.
Yeah, yeah.
And
of course.
And they're taking on Shakespeare and playing every part.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Which used to be men playing it back in Shakespeare's days.
Exactly. Well, I think subverting that is something that's really interesting, and we've definitely tried that. We've done that a lot in our work with little ones as well.
Now, you've got something very exciting coming up.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So for the last 3 years, I've been developing an adaptation of Christos Tsourkas's short story collection, Merciless Gods, and it is going to be premiering in Melbourne at the end of July at Darabin Arts in Northcote Town Hall.
Oh, right, yep.
In the ballroom. And, yeah, I'm just really excited
now
to
that's
finally
not a,
share
it. That's not a lot of time away, though.
I know.
How do you kind of balance those two things, you know, rushing around your brain all the time?
Well, my assistant director on the Moors has been really hilarious. She's sort of like, just create rooms in your brain. So I've actually started, to compartmentalize everything into separate rooms. So there's the Christos room and then there's the Moors and then,
And how's that working?
Look, I'm still standing, so I'm happy. Yeah.
Do you get to the stage where, you know, like you're not sure if everyone's ready or you're not ready and you're like, do you panic at all just before like the Moors, you know, like how far away is it? It's this week.
Tuesday, we have our first audience on Tuesday night.
Right.
Yeah. I do panic, but over the years it's gotten less intense. I find opening nights the worst experience. That's where my anxiety and panic really sets in. In the build-up, it's sort of like it is a work in progress, so it's fine. But when it's opening night and the critics are there and your partner's there and they're seeing it for the first time, it's really full on.
just on the critics point, last week we actually had a discussion at the beginning of the show, and then it just happened, so it was a lot of theatre people coming through. How important is the critics' opinion to you these days?
I mean, look, I find it interesting because it can sometimes help me get better at my job, but then there are moments when you're kind of like, oh, look, we're just not speaking the same language, and so I don't really want to hear what you have to say. But I think there is actually a lot of benefit from it.
Which I think you have to take on, because, again, it's that other person's point of view. But sometimes it's a little bit too personal.
I think if it gets vitriolic, I'm not interested. But if it's really cool and considered, it can be really awesome to read, because it's really great to have people sort of create a discourse about your work. That's why you're putting it out there, so it's really great.
Okay, so this is called The Moors.
Yes.
A brief, quick summary for anyone that's just tuned in.
Okay, like I'll give you a synopsis. So a governess arrives on the windy, dark moors to a house.
I love it already.
Of a spinster sisters. She's been sent there to look after a child, but that child is not there. And so mystery and kind of intrigue ensues.
Oh,
spooky,
okay.
Spooky.
Right, yeah. Spooky, spooky.
And wind machine.
And a lesbian romance, of course.
Yeah, and a man playing a dog.
And a man playing a dog, yeah. That's all I'm going to give you.
I think that's enough to sell it on.
Yeah.
So it starts on the 6th, June 6th, and runs to July 9th.
That's right.
And of course, it's at the wonderful Red Stitch, which is on Chapel Street in St Kilda, across the road from the Astor.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, and just go to their website, Red Stitch's website to find out all the details and booking tickets. And please support somebody like Red Stitch because they're a wonderful theatre group and they need support.
And they support lots of artists in this city. Yeah. And I think it's really important. Yeah.
And Stephen, what about your Little Ones production company? How can people get more information?
You can
about
go to littleonestheatre.com.au and then you can join us on Facebook and Instagram. I love my social media, so please follow us.
Well, so do we. So we'll join it.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming in today.
And
all the very best with the Moors at Red Stitch.
Thanks.
You're on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.